Today on Real Radio.
UCLA's logo has the Bible wide open at the cover, and it says, "Let there be light." At UCLA, can you imagine? Think of that stuff. The effect of biblical, true Christianity is awesome. And listen, God wants to use your life and my life.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We're looking at a section in chapter 6 today, which is just one of a number of warnings, as it were, by the Apostle Paul, that describe the hardships awaiting the true believer. In fact, some of these difficult life experiences will be quite severe for anyone who stands up for the truth of the gospel. But it doesn't end there. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now. It's a lesson called Let Me Encourage You.
Years ago, I did a teaching at a men's retreat, and I took a little statue guy. He's a parking lot guy. He's made out of plastic, and he stands there with a little warning flag or slowdown flag. It's just plastic, but it's like an indestructible plastic. But the cool thing about this little guy, he's short, ugly, skinny. He's got one eye, made out of plastic. He's only got one arm, and he's holding this flag, and it says slow down. But you know what made him so cool for me to take him to a men's retreat and use him as a prop was right out of the middle of his back, there was a handle. You could grab him and put him anywhere you wanted to put him. I like that. Christian, I only have one eye. We can use you. But I only have one arm. Perfect. But I'm rather short. Excellent. If you are willing, you have a handle on your back, and that makes you a minister of the gospel of God. That God can grab you and say, okay, I want to use you here today, or I want to use you there tomorrow, or I want to do this with you or that with you. Isn't that fun? Think of it like that. Lord, grab me by the handle and use me wherever you want to use me. Every tool you and I use has some sort of a handle. That whatever is in our heart and our mind, whatever is in the desires of our heart, we can bring into actual tangibleness with a tool. We can make it. It may be a concept in our mind, but the tool brings it into reality, right? God does that. God wants to love the world, and he wants people to come to know the saving knowledge of Jesus, and there's a handle on your back, as it were, and he wants to present you before an unbelieving world and a wounded world, and God wants to use you so that others might come to knowledge of him. And listen, we would never want to trip somebody up in reaching that goal, in doing that very thing. It says in verse 3, we give no offense in anything that our ministry may be. Look at this, not blamed. Not blamed at the end of verse 3. And this is a powerful thing. Listen, wow. Please mark this down, note takers. That our ministry may not be blamed. Circle the word blamed here. The word blamed here means to be found guilty or to be found questionable with evidence. That's important. You said, I thought you were just talking about evidence a moment ago. Yes, I was. Evidence that confirms the fact that you should be able to be convicted for being a Christian. Not evidence that confirms the fact that you have brought reproach on your Christian witness. Are you with me? So when it says here that we don't want to have the ministry blamed, he's talking about Christian inconsistencies that come out of our lives, or if we let them, they'll come out of our lives. This is something that we need to understand. You and I will always be blamed for something. Do you understand that? I remember years ago, Pastor Chuck Smith told us in a pastor's conference, gentlemen, you're going to be accused of everything in the gospel ministry. Just make sure there's no evidence to the accusation. Isn't that good? Isn't that wise? Because listen, you're going to stand up, you're going to take a stand, be a Christian, take a stand. Guess what? Someone's going to say, you know what? Your mom wears army boots. Someone is going to insult you. Someone's going to insult your family. Someone's going to attack you. Why are they doing that? They didn't attack me before, but I took a stand and now they're attacking me. Hallelujah, thank God. Let me encourage you. If they're not attacking you falsely, then you are never making any difference. The moment you make a difference, people are going to attack you. Now look, it's going to get uncomfortable in here. You need to choose today. You're going to have to choose. You're going to be blamed by the world. But let the blame that comes from the world be because you're doing good stuff for God. Do you think the world is going to agree with what God approves of? There's no way. The moment you stand up and you say, that's wrong, and I'm going to stand in my culture, and I'm going to stand in my community and announce that is a wrong thing to do, people are going to attack you. Why? Because you are standing for what is near and dear to the heart of your God. They hate him, they're going to hate you. Are you okay with that? But listen, I got to tell you this right now. I fearfully pity Christians or a pastor or a church that is fearful of what the community might say about them when they stand for what's right. Is that even a church anymore? We're to stand against darkness and evil. We're to stand against bad and ugly things that would hurt the community, the culture, children, whatever it may be, marriage, girls in the community, women, whatever. Stand in defense. And when you do that, people are going to attack you, and that's okay. What he is saying to us is don't be the ones who hand the people the stones to throw at you. There's a lot of immorality today, as we all know painfully so in the Christian church in America. It's an embarrassment. I've told you guys before, but I'll insert it again. There's times, so many times, I am so tempted to lie when somebody asks me, they're cutting my hair or washing the car or whatever. I'm so tempted to lie when somebody says, hey, so what do you do? I hate that, because you know what? The moment I say, well, I'm a pastor, what goes through their minds? I know what goes through my mind. Oh, my goodness, I don't want to be associated with those nincompoops. Right? You know what I'm talking about? Sometimes I've said, listen, I've been on an airplane. So what do you do? I'm a teacher. That's true, you know. I just... The moment I say I'm a pastor, they start looking for another seat. Jesus said in Matthew 5:11, blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you. What? Falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Listen to the inverse of this. Woe to you when all men speak well of you.
I just want people to like me.
Jesus said, watch out, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. Yikes. The fear of man is a snare. The righteous can be as bold as a lion, but when you are intimidated and fearful and you don't know your position in Christ, you'll tiptoe around and the world will say, boo, and you'll go, oh, I'm sorry. And that won't rescue anyone. That won't help anyone. The second thing that we look at is that Christianity is not of this world by its observable effect. By its observable effect, Christianity, you can watch it. I'm talking about real Christianity. And sometimes it's hard to find real Christianity today. But find it. It's there. Look for it. Hopefully it's happening here. Where a Christian who loves God is awakened to the Word of God and finds out that they can be involved to do the Word of God. After it's been preached, the Christian is excited to get up and go do. And there's opportunities for you to go do. You were just invited, I think, in the announcements, right? To reach the Marines? Right? You got that opportunity. The homeless in inner city down either at the Jordan Mission or the Watts Outreach. You've got opportunities. You might say, well, that's none of my stuff. Then what about rescuing scared and terrified pregnant women who are seeking an abortion? And we get to offer them an alternative and get that baby either taken care of or adopt it out. How about that? You want to be involved in that? You say, what can I do? You can pray. You can give a dollar a month. You can do something. There's always something. Look at the observable effect of Christianity in the world today. And I love saying this, and I love when people don't believe me, and then they go look, and then they come back and say, oh yeah, you're right. Who started Yale? Who started Princeton? Who started Harvard? Who started William and Mary? Who started Cornell? Go look at these universities. Who started mission surgical fields all around the world where the people were, they had no medicine, they had no treatment. Who did these things all around the world? And look what was going on before those efforts came into effect. Nothing was going on. Amazing. Look at that. It's awesome. Isn't it amazing? From coast to coast, even around the world, certainly Europe, you can go to a hospital for care, and how many times do you see a cross? And now my own hospital, where I'm at. Like I work there. St. Jude, down the road here. But you notice, they used to have a big, normal Christian cross, but because of attacks and political correctness and pressure, they still have a cross, but it's more like a Byzantine cross now, if you know what that looks like. But they still have the cross out there. UCLA's logo has the Bible wide open at the cover, and it says, "Let there be light." At UCLA, can you imagine? Think of that stuff. The effect of biblical, true Christianity is awesome. And listen, God wants to use your life and my life. That's an exciting thing to consider. The next thing is, thirdly, verse 4, is that Christianity is not of this world by its followers' influence, by all of us. He says, but in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God. Simply this, listen. In 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 4, the Bible says, but as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, that's all of us, this is you, even so we speak, we talk Bible, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts, gives us opportunities to shine for him every day. For neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others. Listen to what he says. When we might have made demands as apostles of Christ, but we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. So, affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, that is that Jesus Christ died for our sins and rose again from the grave, and receiving that, though it cost him everything, is free to you, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us. That is a Christian minister, a Christian life lived. That's awesome. Listen, when Christians pull up and they say, hey, where's my limousine? If you're going to have a Christian minister come and, well, you know, I can't come and speak unless I have gray poupon. And, you know, it's a what? We get self-invites from people. Every church does. But the bigger the church, the bigger the kind of a person. Here's what they must think somewhere back in the crazy town. That church has got a lot of people. They must have money. I think God's called me to speak there. And then I get a note. Hi, Pastor Hibbs. I am the right reverend, super anointed, apostle, prophet, Billy Bob. And I'm going to be in the Southern California area, and you're going to want to have me speak to your church. If you just contact this number, you'll get all the details as how you can have me. And it's, yeah, you can have me. I want a car at the airport. I want to have this kind of food. And just for you, because, you know, we're going to be vacationing in California, it's only going to be $30,000 for that weekend. Let me tell you something. I pray a little prayer for that person. And I'm not going to tell you what it is. Paul the Apostle would have jumped off his donkey and knocked that person out. Those are wolves. They're wolves. I don't care what you... They're wolves. And Paul was not like that. Paul said, no, you know what? Our love drove us to minister to you. And you know what? Paul said, we could have walked up and said, we're apostles. We're the real deal. So we'd like to have grape upon. He said, listen, we are the real deal. And because we're the real deal, we ask for nothing. Think of that. Point number two is, let me encourage you, Christianity is not an easy road. Verses 4-8. Say, Pastor, come on, lighten up. Wait, I just brought my friend here today. I want them to become a Christian. Well, let's not fool them. Paul right here is encouraging. He is encouraged, by the way, by how the message and the ministry of the gospel is his strength and his power. Made no excuses for that. Convincing evidence that the ministry that he was involved in was approved of God. You say, what'd you say? Just that difficulty and stuff and the power of God is yet more proof of being the real deal. Verse 4, mark this down. We will feel what others don't feel. we're going to feel. Verse 4, he says, in much patience. Mark this, in much patience. The word is a determined cheerfulness. Listen, I'm going to read you the actual exact definition, and then I'll make a confession. A determined cheerfulness. This is not of this world, my friends. This is not easy. Hopeful endurance. Consistently waiting. The word means to endure patiently. And he's going to tell us what? Endure patiently what? And he's going to tell us about his own life. And let me tell you something right now. I don't know about you, but I thought about this word patient. If I am ever known, and miraculously, there are events where people, how come Jack's waiting so long to decide on that? What's Jack waiting for? What's the deal? What's the deal? That is a miracle. Because I'm so impatient. I don't like patience. You know the old story. Don't pray for patience because God will put you through the... Listen, you don't even have to pray for patience. God's going to put you through it anyway. It's one of the things of the Holy Spirit he wants to work into your life. But I am impetuous. You know what that means? I'm impetuous. I'm spontaneous. My wife, thank God. Listen, any of you single and you're going to get married, you're engaged, make sure the person you're engaged to is the opposite of you. Don't marry somebody like you. If you're both impetuous, you'll be on the streets poor with nothing. You want somebody, and God will bring somebody opposite. But man, I'll go, come on. Lisa, Monday, it's our day off. Get up, wake up. It's our day off. She's going, I want to sleep. No, get up. Let's go. Let's just throw hats on and go eat breakfast on the beach. Let's do that. We'll pick stuff up on the way down there and just set up an umbrella. No, Lisa's got to have it on the calendar for 6 months. So what's the compromise? We do it, we have a spontaneous event in 3 months. That's what happens. Listen, as Christians, what you and I feel, the world does not feel. Completely opposite. Did you hear me? Christianity's not easy. The number one thing is we find out in our lives all of a sudden as a Christian, we start caring about things we never cared about before. We feel toward people a way that we never felt before. And this word patient is not us, but God does the work. Now I'm going to need you to hang on to your seats. This is going to go really quick. Watch this shotgun. Almost, I would think, it fell out of Paul's mouth so quick because he knew it was so true. And this is what I want to be able to say in my life. In much patience, in tribulations, what does that mean? To be placed under a plank of anguish. To be placed under a plank, a wooden plank, a burden. The word means problems of daily living. The literal word means afflictions or tribulations, pressures of life that crush you. You know what I'm talking about? Paul says, be patient in that stuff. We feel different than what the world does because what Christianity is not easy, but God gets us through this. He gives us this amazing opportunity when we're under the plank. Remember, when you're under the plank, you can't breathe very well. You ever feel like that? Oh my goodness. The next word, in needs. The word means requests placed upon you. The word means must needs. That must needs are placed upon you. G. Campbell Morgan says it's this kind of a need, which is often sometimes the most debilitating for the caregiver, is when someone in your family or a husband or a wife or a child is incapacitated or handicapped severely, and your life now is devoted to the constant care of that person. There'll be no missionary field for you. There'll be no much of a social life for you. There'll be no trips for you. There'll be none. But the Bible says, be patient in that. God is at work. And Paul said, I know what it's like to live like that. We don't know much about Paul in this area, but he's telling us, I know what it's like to nurse someone who's been incapacitated. We don't know. Was it his wife? We don't know. He knows what it's like in needs. The next word, look, in distresses. This word means to be brought into a narrow place. It means the place of squeezing, to be slowly crushed by what? By the cares and difficulties and challenges that this world brings against us. Verse 5, in stripes, imprisonments, and in tumults. Stripes means this, to be struck on the face, to be beaten. I don't have the time. We will go into it later. How many times was Paul beaten and scourged and whipped and even stoned with rocks? I have to make that clear in California. Stoned with rocks. Left for dead, and God raised him up and he kept serving. We'll talk about that in following chapters in this book. Imprisonments. I hate the thought of this. Imprisonments means to be under guard, having lost your freedom, your liberty, and your ability to move about. Imprisoned in jail. Now, as a Christian in this culture, we may all be going to jail the way this world is going. But Paul says, oh, cheer up. Let me encourage you. I know what it's like to be in jail. Can you imagine if we saw, if Paul applied for a job here and we looked him up, we did a background check, you know his rap sheet was pretty bad, you know? The guy's been in and out of jail. Yes, I'd like to serve Christ. Great. Let's take a look at your life. Man, looks like you've been in and out of jail a lot. That's true. I have a record. Well, for what? Telling people about Jesus. I've been arrested in Rome. I've been arrested in Jerusalem. Been arrested throughout areas in Europe. For what? Preaching Christ that he died, rose again from the grave. Freaked people out. Did you know that? Would you hire a pastor or an apostle that's got a record like that? You better. Wow. Tumults. This is funny. Plays off the other. Tumults. Paul says, I've been patient in tumults. What does that word mean? Public civil instability. Listen, public civil disorder, a mob or a riot. Watch this. Caused by you. How do you like that? Listen, a lot of people are talking about being Christians today. I'm praying to God that I become one. You say, what do you mean? Because when I read the example of the Christian, he, in public, created civil disorder. Paul disturbed the peace. The peace, though, was a community that was dead in its sins. And Paul came walking in and said, hey, everybody, listen, Jesus rose again from the grave. He saves people. And he tells Herod and Felix and others and Festus, you ought not to be living like that. That's going to get you in trouble with God. Remember he said that? And they said, that's it, you're going to jail. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm afraid that my community doesn't know I'm a Christian. I'm afraid the street I live on, they don't know I'm a Christian. Paul says, well, okay, I'll pray for you because everywhere I went, there was a riot. There was a mob about what I believed. How cool is that? Do you want to embrace that? I'm asking God to make me want to embrace that. But we feel what others do not feel because, quite frankly, the world thinks it's alive, but it's dead. We have life and they can't recognize us.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Let Me Encourage You, a look at a section in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. It's one of the writings of Paul that explain some of the hardships the true believer will face, yet this passage has encouragements interwoven throughout the text. Let Me Encourage You is part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at 2 Corinthians, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Well, it is Monday, and you know what that means. You can catch another Real Life with Jack Hibbs television program. There's a new Real Life with Jack Hibbs broadcast every Monday. Pastor Jack interviews some great speakers, guests and authors and debaters and so forth, to discuss the hard-hitting issues and current events that we must face head-on both collectively as a church and as individual believers. So if you find yourself needing to address issues like same-sex marriage, abortion, defending the faith, one-on-one evangelism, etc. Real Life with Jack Hibbs, well, I got to tell you, it's a great resource. So join us tonight, would you? And every Monday night, for that matter, for another Real Life with Jack Hibbs television program. You can get all the details by visiting reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.